This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a goner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A goner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
On a Friday evening, we welcome you in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training. Great to be with you. For the first time this week, we have a full two-hour sports open line. We've had SLU basketball and SLU coaches show, and yesterday was the countdown to opening day show. But here we are coming your way on a Friday night, and we have a full 2 hours. We've got a lot. We have a lot to get into over these next 2 hours. We are going to be mostly Cardinals baseball. We'll do a little City SC. We'll do a little Blues hockey as well, but mostly Cardinals baseball between now and 8 o'clock this evening. So one of the things is like when other media members and folks are here, I try to sit down with them and interview them so I can bring them on the show. And because we haven't had very many full two-hour shows, and we always try to get the Oliver Marmol audio to you every single day, that is kind of more time-specific, have had a bunch of things that we've done that have kind of been sitting ready to be used at any point in time. So you're going to hear conversations over the next couple of hours with Corey Miller from Channel 5. Tomorrow, Cher from Channel 4 is going to join us. Our good friend Joe Roderick, who's part of the Sports Hub STL team. He's going to join us coming up later on in the program as well. We will hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. And then up in our next segment, that's going to be our City SC segment for the day as they get set to play again coming up tomorrow. They are going to match up against San Diego. And we are going to be talking with Jake Zivin, who's going to be on the call of that on Apple TV. So that's kind of a rundown of what's going to be happening today. Cardinals matched up against the Houston Astros over at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches today. They lose by a 3-2 score. They score their two runs very late in the game after most of the frontline guys had come out. To put that in perspective, the two players who drove in runs today were Brian Torres and also Michael Hellman. Hellman's got a chance to make this team for sure, but just one of those days where it was a lineup that included a lot of players who are going to be in the opening day lineup. They just didn't really get much of anything going. Mason Wynn is still struggling, and I don't think we're at the point yet to be worried. Actually, I was seeing some stuff on social media about this earlier tonight. And look, there is a point in spring training where if somebody just has not put it all together and is really struggling, you do start to legitimately wonder if that is going to carry into the regular season. But we're nowhere near that point right now. And Mason Wynn sitting 0-for-12 doesn't concern me. He's not striking out. He's only struck out on three times. There's been some hard hit balls that just are not finding their way through. If this continues and we're talking about this in 2-3 weeks from now, then I guess we can have a different conversation. But I'm not overly worried about Mason Wynn. I'm not overly worried about Brendan Donovan, who only has a 100 average. Not really worried about Alec Burleson at 167. Guys like that. They kind of are what they are, and they should be able to put it together. I continue to be pretty pleased with what I see from a pitching standpoint. I thought Eric Fetty looked good today outside of one pitch that he threw. Isak Paredes got him for a monster home run. Outside of that, every pitch that Fetty threw today would look pretty good. He just gives up the one run on one hit, 3 strikeouts in 2 innings. So that was a good day for Fetty. Tekoa Roby gives up a run in 3 innings of work. He becomes the first pitcher this year for the Cardinals in spring to get to a 3 innings. Thought he looked good. Ryan Helsley looked good today. So there are certainly some positive things that are going on. Cardinals will match up against the Nationals coming up tomorrow. Miles Michaelis is going to be on the mound. A lot of focus on him right now and what he's doing to adjust his kind of pitching philosophy, I guess you could say. I thought his first time out, he looked pretty good. At one point, he had an 0-2 count, and he actually threw some pitches outside of the zone. And one of the things that we had really discussed here recently was, Miles Michaelis has struggled the last 2 years. And when he has talked about those struggles, he's talked about the idea of not throwing as many strikes. He said that again this offseason. And the question then presented itself, is this going to be a real thing? Or is this just going to be kind of something that he talks about and doesn't really follow through? Well, it's only one spring training start, but he that's what he did then. So seeing what he can do tomorrow is going to be notable for sure. By the way, the next two games, weekends, we always get these games on KMOX. So tomorrow's game, a 12:05 Central first pitch, Miles Michaelis against Mike Soroka. We'll have that broadcast for you at 11:55. And then Sunday, you can listen to Cardinals baseball as well as they match up against the Marlins. That's going to be a 12:10 first pitch coming up on Sunday. Steven Matz is scheduled to go, and that means our coverage will begin at 12 o'clock. John Rooney, Ricky Horton will have the call of the games coming up over these next couple days. So Cardinals baseball on your radio, it certainly does not get much better than that. We're going to jump back in. A lot of Cardinals talk today. All the guests that we've got on after our next one are going to be Cardinals related, but did want to, as we normally do towards the end of the week, talk through what's going to be coming up with City SC. Jake Zivin is part of the team at Apple TV for MLS Season Pass. He's going to be on the call coming up tomorrow as they match up against San Diego, and we'll talk with Jake coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. From Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training, it's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. We'll be here for the next few weeks. We've been here since things got started. We are your home for Cardinals baseball. Down the hall in our building, Y98 is the home for City SC. Also the home for MLS Soccer is Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. And we're very happy to welcome on to the broadcast right now lead play-by-play man for MLS Season Pass. He's going to be on the call coming up as City matches up coming up tomorrow evening against San Diego on the road. He is Jake Zivin. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake Zivin. Jake, thanks for your time. Welcome back onto the program.
Matt, happy to be back. Hope you're enjoying Jupiter, Florida. I'll be on the other side of the country, but in an equally gorgeous place, as will St. Louis City, San Diego, California tomorrow night.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, like, I was talking to my wife about this the other day. I was describing, you know, Florida might not be my favorite place in the world, but the Palm Beach area of Florida is awesome. And I actually compared the Palm Beach area of Florida to, it feels very much like San Diego in many ways.
For sure. And now's the time of year to be there. Look, we've called a lot of Inter-Miami games over the past 2.5 years because of Lionel Messi. It's been 1.5 years since he showed up in July. And it is so hot. It's so humid. It's stifling in South Florida. Now's the time to go. Obviously, that's why spring training's there. But absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous place.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going to be happening here coming up tomorrow. First off, City played to a nothing-nothing draw against Colorado their first time out. For some people, it felt a lot like last year where City played to a lot of draws, but to other people, it felt different because City had a lot of scoring opportunities, and for whatever reason, they just couldn't put it in the back of the net. What was your takeaway from what you saw in that matchup against Colorado?
Yeah, I agree. Look, you want to win. And when you're at home and your City and you're at the now named Energizer Park in that incredible environment and atmosphere, you want to win every game. They did everything but score to win the game, right? I mean, I think it was 18-2 in shots. Colorado took 2 shots. That was the fewest of any team on opening day. So they dominated the game. They just didn't find that final moment. And yeah, look, that's a question mark. That's what the game is about, right? It's scoring goals. And you have Shao Klaus, who had multiple opportunities. One, first of all, it's good to see him back there, like healthy to start the season and getting in those spots. But City, I think, need Shao Klaus to be the Shao Klaus of the first 3-4 months of St. Louis City that we remember so fondly from 2023 when City burst onto the scene in MLS. He was getting in those spots. He just wasn't finishing. It's one game. It's a season opener. I wouldn't worry. If it's me, I'm looking on the positive side of that they dominated the game in their season opener and that they, you know, did everything but score that they needed to do to win the game.
Very generally speaking, this is a broad question, but this team changed a lot during the transfer window last year. They used that as the opportunity to reset the roster for this season, and then they hire the new coach in the offseason. Do you like the changes? Do you like the makeup of what you see right now from the team?
Yeah, absolutely. And right away, we saw it. I mean, they were a good team after the transfer window last summer. Basically, the last 9 games of the MLS regular season after League's Cup, they were a good team. Now, they had dug themselves too big of a hole to come back and claw their way into the playoffs. But you can see with Toyshart, with Hartl, it was Simon Betcher, to trade Henry Kessler, the moves worked, right? And they worked right away. So, I think, you know, is there room to add another piece? Maybe a big, big piece? Maybe. Could that come down the line? Could that really help them? I think there's some people who would advocate for that. But certainly, I think the moves made last summer did a lot to kind of right the ship, so to speak, and bring St. Louis City back to being a competitive team in the Western Conference. So now, are they going to be back to top of the West, right? Winning the West like they did their first year? Maybe, but they're not going to be, I don't think, a team towards the bottom of the West as they were, you know, for the first half of last season.
You mentioned going and adding a big piece. That's what a lot of fans want, especially after the Vasilev trade, which brought in a fair amount of general allocation money.
Yeah, and look, the name that I think will always be out there, as it should be, is Josh Sargent. St. Louis kid, he's playing in the championship, scoring a bajillion goals in the championship right now. But if the offer is big enough, if, you know, the city really want to spend or another MLS team want to spend, and it was close with Cincinnati last summer, could they go and get him? It's a, from our standpoint, right, from the broadcast standpoint, we love good stories, and, you know, that we can tell. And that would be, it's nothing's better than a guy coming home, right? And so I think until, you know, his next destination is set, whether that's in the Premier League, whether he moves up to the Premier League in England, whether that's somewhere else in Europe, whether it's staying at Norwich, whether that's another MLS team, but until that's set, I think that'll be the name that you'll hear a lot for St. Louis, and it makes a lot of sense. I think it would make a lot of sense for St. Louis. The one thing might be it's going to cost a lot. He's going to be really expensive because he's scoring a ton of goals. But Josh Sargent, St. Louis kid, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that will be, you know, on a lot of people's minds.
City showed a couple years ago the success you can have as an expansion franchise. It's kind of cool that they're matched up here against San Diego as they open up a new stadium. It was just it's perfect scheduling, it feels like.
It is. It's awesome. And what I like about it is if you look at the preseason predictions for San Diego FC, there are a lot of people saying 15th in the West, 14th, 13th in the West. Who knows how that feels? St. Louis City, written off before their first year, just from people looking at the roster construction, looking at something on paper. They had never seen them play a game, not even a preseason game, and they're predicting them in last place. And San Diego was in a similar situation. Now, they made a big, big signing in Chucky Lozano. He's a Mexican superstar. He has the adoration of the supporters in San Diego across the border in Tijuana, and he's a big, big deal and a great player in his prime. But still, the predictions were at the bottom of the West. And so for them to come out in their season opener and beat the defending champs, the LA Galaxy, 2-0 in LA, it's a big statement from San Diego FC, similar to the big statement that St. Louis City made in 2023 that, hey, we're not going to finish in the bottom of the West. We are better than you all think we are. And we saw that week one. The expectations have changed for them just off that one performance. Now, I'm not saying that they can repeat what St. Louis City did and become the second team ever to win their conference as an expansion team in all of North American sports, or to win their first 5 games as St. Louis did and are the only team ever to do. But I do think it's cool that, right, that's the team that they're facing. Because if San Diego does win this game and say they have a really good start to the year, there's going to be a lot of comparisons, I think, to St. Louis City because it was a team that was largely written off by a lot of pundits in the preseason.
Yeah, 100%. Before we get out here, we always love telling folks about MLS Season Pass and what you guys have going on at Apple TV. It's a brand new year, but you guys are just another year into providing elite coverage for MLS fans.
Yeah, thanks. And look, one thing that St. Louis City fans are going to see this year is Sunday night soccer. There's a Sunday night game of the week, 6 p.m. Central Time coverage starting 5 p.m. Central Time every Sunday night. That's available on MLS Season Pass. It's also available just on Apple TV Plus. So if you don't have the subscription that allows you to see every MLS game, but you watch Ted Lasso, you watch Severance on Apple TV, you can watch that Sunday night soccer game. St. Louis City will be featured plenty on Sunday night soccer, including next week when they play at the LA Galaxy. So we'll have that game. And just looking at the schedule, we've got several St. Louis games on Sunday night. So it's a big addition to MLS on Apple TV, MLS Season Pass, our whole thing. We're really excited about it. This week, it's Houston versus Miami. It's Lionel Messi on Sunday Night Soccer. So, when you're kicking it on your Sunday, you know, you want your soccer, a little more of it because you were so excited by the City game the night before. Turn on Sunday Night Soccer on Sunday night. Check out Lionel Messi and Inter Miami at Houston.
Jake, great stuff. He is Jake Zivin. You hear him on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. He's going to be on the call for City in San Diego coming up tomorrow evening. Jake, thanks so much for the time. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the line.
Absolutely. Great to talk. Matt, enjoy Florida.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy San Diego yourself. Thanks. Jake Zivin joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments of time. Of course, you can catch those broadcasts if you want to watch them on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. If you want to listen in, you can always do so on our sister station, Y98. It's going to be a late night of soccer coming up tomorrow evening as they are going to be out west in San Diego helping to open up Snapdragon Stadium. And I think he's right. There's going to be a lot of comparisons between what San Diego is able to do in their opening season compared to City. I think there's going to be comparisons to the crowd. I mean, we just know what the environment is like inside of Energizer Park. What is it going to be like for the folks in San Diego? All things that we are going to be watching out for. We are going to step aside when we return. We got a bunch of work. Before we're done today at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Corey Miller, Tamar Scher, and Joe Roderick, all folks who have been down here in Florida. I got the chance to talk with all of them, and we're going to start with Corey Miller from Channel 5. He joins us in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are coming your way from Jupiter and Cardinal Spring Training. Happy to be joined right now by Corey Miller from Channel 5. Corey, great to see you. How are you?
Great to see you, Matt. You know, I'm kind of sad to be going home today when we're recording this. I can't tell you how many text messages I've got on my phone right now of people mad that I was here all week while they're stuck back in St. Louis trying to dig out.
Yeah, it's been very cold there. It's been although all of us are actually wearing long sleeves today.
I feel guilty. I cannot complain. I'm wearing a jacket and sleeves, but I'm in Florida and it's sunny, so I feel like I can't complain. I'm too guilty.
You've been here for a week or so. What's maybe the thing that has most jumped out at you during your time?
It's a spring cliche, and you know, I kind of feel like a company man, but it's positive. It's very positive. It feels like there has sort of been a page turned, even though the faces are all the same. We saw them all last year. We saw a lot of them in the major leagues. The young guys are taking ownership, though. They've had a bit of major league experience, a lot of them, but they know this year is their year to step up and own it. And you get that vibe talking to everybody around here. And, I mean, who knows? Who knows? I think this is the kind of tagline I'm going with. If a couple of these guys all click at the same time, you got something on your hands, and in the NL Central, anything can happen. And then we've seen, you know, how the last 2 years have gone. It could be more of that go the other way very easily. So it's spring training, so optimism is always the word, and I think it's pretty powerful here right now.
If the Cardinals marketing people are listening, they can just go with "Who knows?" as the tagline for the 2025 Cardinals.
Either that, or Victor Scott has come up with "Youngry."
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
youthful and hungry. He accidentally combined, and I said, "You need to get that trademarked because that's going to be on a T-shirt if things start to take off here in St. Louis." So, Youngry or who knows? I think both work.
The Nolan Arenado thing, we talk about it nonstop the entire off season, and then they don't get a trade done. He shows up, and it's just kind of status quo.
The biggest move of the Cardinals offseason is not moving Nolan Arenado, as said was priority number 1, 2, and 3 by John Mozeliak. Nolan's a pro. Of course, he showed up, said all the right things, and it had to be a bit of an awkward situation, maybe outside perception with his teammates. It's like nothing has changed, of course. Who knows how this plays out? It's not over. Teams have injuries in spring training. Teams are trying to do things behind the scenes. The Cardinals have made it known they want that flexibility to move guys into different positions, younger guys, and get a look at them. And Arenado being here doesn't really help that. It gets you a few more wins, probably, but it doesn't help with their stated goal of the season. So I don't think the saga is quite over yet, especially at the trade deadline, if we're looking at the standings, and it makes sense for Arenado to end up on a contending team if the Cardinals aren't in contention. So as of right now, not a whole lot to report yet, but I don't think it's over.
If narrative number one was about Arenado, it feels like narrative number two was, hey, if Walker and Gorman take steps forward, this team can be pretty good. And there's been so much talk about Brant Brown and his impact, and I don't think anything's changed. It does feel like those are two incredibly important pieces for this team.
For sure, and talking with these guys, I don't even have to bring up Brant Brown, and they are offering that as the one of the biggest reasons for their excitement for this season. Nolan Gorman said he worked with him literally every day in Arizona this offseason. They lived like right down the road from each other and really got to connect and work on things. And just watching Brown on the backfield, he's up, you know, on the George Kissel high tower there, kind of looking at all the fields. And then he's over in another field and he's everywhere. His influence is felt for sure. And Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, who you mentioned specifically, seem to be embracing it. And you can't say they haven't had their chances in the big leagues. They have. But this year feels like a time to own it, or we start having a different conversation, especially Nolan Gorman, who's had a little bit longer time to figure things out at the major league level than Jordan Walker, who's, you know, just 22 and is a year removed from leading the Cardinals in batting average. So definitely those two, I think, might be the most important players on the team this year.
Ollie has talked a lot about decisions and how you got to look at decisions and how they're going to impact this year's team, but also how they're going to impact the team moving forward. It's a weird spot for the team to be in, because Arenado's back and they have Gray and they have Contreras, but they still have the stated goal of wanting to give young players runway, and everything you do does have implications beyond the season. It's not just about winning now. It's a really weird spot for the organization to be in.
You described it best there. It is weird because things kind of feel different, feel a little fresher, and then you look at the names, and it's almost the same as last year, including the veterans guys that you mentioned, especially in the rotation. Opportunity in the rotation, I think, is what I am most interested about this season, because you've got Gray, you've got Michaelis, you've got Matz, who knows if he's in the rotation or the bullpen, and you've got Pallante, who is a younger guy who's pretty established. He's going to be in the rotation. Where does other opportunities for a Quinn Matthews or a Michael McGreevy or a Gordon Graceffo or somebody younger even to get starts? It's, you know, everybody gets hurt. There's always injuries. So there's going to be guys who come up and fill in. How many opportunities do we see in the rotation for younger players? Is my big question. It's no question that in the lineup and in the field, there's plenty of those opportunities. But from the pitching side, I'm interested to see how much run the young guys can get in the rotation.
It's incredibly unlikely that what I'm about to say will happen, but let's go to this hypothetical situation for a second. Let's say your five guys come out healthy and all pitch relatively well in spring. We're talking Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, Matz. And then let's say Michael McGreevy, who really performed well last year and seems like the next starter to be given that opportunity, he also has a nice spring. If you've got all six of those guys coming off good springs, all healthy, what do you do?
I think if you're serious about the messaging and the kind of commitment to this transition phase, you have to show it and you got to give them starts. Because otherwise, what are we doing? Otherwise, it's the same thing we've seen with this team the last couple of years. I think you got to go all in at some point, or at least more in than it might appear on paper. And like I said, injuries and everything always happen, so it all gets mixed up and mumbled up. But in your scenario where everybody comes out healthy and looking good, I think you got to give the kid a chance. You got to see.
Do you do that as a six-man rotation, or do you do this bumping somebody out of the rotation?
In this day and age in baseball, there's so many ways to look at things. A six-man rotation really doesn't bug me too much. You know, that would be, I don't think that's a terrible idea. I don't know how much the veterans, would love it, because, they like to get their work in and they've done things a certain way. And if Sonny Gray was very good last year overall, if he's good again this year, kind of stinks not seeing him for a couple more starts.
But you can also massage it with, for Gray, you can use off days, you can bump guys around. There's ways to get through that.
Let me put it this way. I think the goal is to see what you got out of guys. If you got to use a six-man rotation to make that happen, I think that's something worth exploring, I'd say.
The player is probably most impacted in a negative way by Nolan Arenado being around is Thomas Ajayi. Barring injury, it seems unlikely that there's enough at-bats for him if Arenado's around. It's just kind of it's a weird part of this whole thing. And even watching those guys, work together, and they've been doing a lot of work on the field together, I think to myself, they're also connected very much, because Sajacy may have to head back to Memphis because this guy's here.
Yeah, it's tough for him. And, he was a real bright spot at the end of the season, just coming up. I remember I happened to be out on the field when he walked out to Busch Stadium for the first time ever, and just seeing his face was like the coolest thing I saw all year long. He's got the demeanor to, we just talked about it with Ollie just, a couple minutes ago. His mindset, I think, is somebody that he is, it's cliche, he's ready for whatever they're going to throw at him. I'd love to see him on the roster in some capacity as a guy who could be a right-handed bat off the bench, who is a guy who could play a couple different infield positions, a la, a Tommy Edman kind of type. So I'd love to see him on the roster in some capacity. But, yeah, Arenado still being here at third is going to damper his chances to play some third base.
You've collected tons of interviews and things like that while you've been here for the week. What can viewers who watch Channel 5 expect, not just coming up soon, but really over the next 4 or 5 weeks?
Tell you what, we got enough content to fill about 2 months here. So lots of stuff, obviously, on our newscasts at 5, 6, and 10 at night. We're going to be putting together a special that'll air on our streaming channel on 5 Plus, and we're going to edit all these up, and you'll be able to hear all of my bad questions and mumbling over myself and these guys telling me about the season in full on our YouTube page. So, we had some fun moments in there. It's not all serious stuff. Trying to learn a little bit about these guys, especially the younger guys. Guys don't know yet as much, like J.J. Weatherholden and Quinn Matthews, who two really fascinating folks. I would seek out those interviews. So we'll have all those up as well.
Corey, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
That is Corey Miller from Channel 5. We'll take a break. Have more coming up. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Jupiter on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Coming up in hour number two, going to play for you a number of interviews that I've recorded here over the last week or so down here in Jupiter. So we haven't had a lot of full 2 hour sports open lines, and I've talked to a lot of folks and we haven't gotten the chance to play the interview. So we finally have a 2 hour program tonight. So we're going to kind of roll through those, looking forward to being able to play for you a conversation that I had with Tamar Scher from Channel 4. And also we'll hear from Joe Roderick, a friend of the program, Joe Roderick. He's going to join us coming up next hour. And then we'll hear a little bit from Oliver Marmol as we'll, play back some of what he had to say during his media screen from today. We'll talk about the battle for the center field spot, what Ivan Herrera has done defensively to improve himself, and also talk a little bit about Alec Burleson and what he's doing over at first base. So that's all going to be coming up in hour number two of the program. Really quickly, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because honestly, I don't think it's worth spending a lot of time on, but it's also something that
certainly gained some traction on social media today. Ken Rosenthal, Baseball Insider, Fox Sports, The Athletic, he wrote something about the Cardinals. He was in Jupiter the other day. I saw him in passing as he was up in the press box during one of the Cardinals spring training games at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. But he wrote about the Cardinals being in the middle. And what the middle is when you're not full bore going for it, but also not in a full bore reset, retool, reboot, rebuild, whichever re you want to go with. And the tag word here recently for the Cardinals has been they're in a transition year, which I always thought they were in a transition year. Like, I understand what they're doing with the verbiage, but not calling it a reset and calling it a transition instead, it could have been both a reset and a transition. It's a transition year in the sense that Heim Bloom is already in the organization. A bunch of Bloom's hires, basically, are already in the organization, but John Mozeliak is still the president of baseball operations. So that's the transition, because it's partly Bloom's people and partly Mo, and it's kind of morphing all of that together for one final year where John Mozeliak is the president of baseball operations. So that's the, to me, that's the transition part. The reset part was about giving young players opportunities and really focusing on that. And they're going to do that as much as they can. But bluntly, when Nolan Arenado made the decision that he didn't want to go to Houston, and when he made the decision that there was only, you know, five or so teams that that they wanted to, that he'd be okay going to, like, at that point, the reset, the rebuild, the re-whatever you want to call it, it was kind of off the table. Because you weren't able to do everything that you wanted to do. You weren't able to make Nolan Gorman your everyday third baseman. You probably aren't able to get Thomas Tejasi enough at bats for it to work out for him. That's assuming health, and things obviously can change. Things can change. But this is the stuff that we have been talking about over and over and over. It's nothing new. Now, Ken Rosenthal doesn't talk to a St. Louis audience. He talks to a national audience. So these things that we talk about in St. Louis that we are so, you know, intimately connected to, though they haven't quite gotten as much publicity from a national standpoint. So this is not a criticism of Ken. It was a perfectly fine column that he wrote, and he was spot on. It's just, it's stuff that has already been talked about a lot in St. Louis. And I don't think anything changes. The one I do wonder, you know, Rosenthal kind of threw out the idea that in Mo's final season, did they not go full bore reset? Because in his final season, he doesn't want it to be as you know, as bad of a season as people thought it might be. And he asked Mo that, and Mo said, you know, he represents the organization and he does what the organization basically tells him to do. So he's not, you know, going solo on this against their will. And I agree with that. I still think there's a chance that Arenado gets traded, especially if the Cardinals get off to a slow start. So I don't know. I read that and I see the social media reaction to it. And all I can think to myself is, hey, you know what? This is stuff that we have already been talking about a lot. And this doesn't really advance the story. Maybe it informs more people outside of St. Louis, but it doesn't really advance the story so much. All right, in hour number two, Tamar Scher, Channel 4, she's going to join us in just a few moments. Joe Roderick's going to join us after that. Some conversations we recorded recently here in Jupiter. Also, we'll hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We'll talk a little Blues in the final hour of the program as well. In Jupiter, Florida at Cardinals Spring Training, I'm Matt Pauly. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are back after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.